جميعا ورحمة الله وبركاته. Tonight, inshallah, we will go through Surah Al-Ra'd, verses 10 and 11, inshallah. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. والصلاة والسلام على أنبياء الله جميعا وعلى سيدهم وخاتمهم حبيب إله العالمين أبي القاسم المصطفى محمد. وعلى أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المقصومين الذين أذهب الله عنهم الرجس وطهرهم تطهيرا. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. عالم الغيب والشهادة الكبير المتعال، سواء منكم من أسر القول ومن جهر به ومن هو مستخف بالليل وسارب بالنهار، له معقبات من بين يديه ومن خلفه يحفظونه من أمر الله، إن الله لا يغير ما بقوم حتى يغيروا ما بأنفسهم، وإذا أراد الله بقوم سوءا فلا مرد له وما لهم من دونه من وال. صدق الله العلي العظيم. So we said one of the most important characters of God and his attributes that he is omniscient. His knowledge is all-encompassing. His knowledge is complete and also unlimited. Sometimes we say such a person is alim, and also we say God is alim. So what is the difference? Are there any difference or there is no difference? Definitely there is a difference. The most important difference between a person who is alim and Lord who is alim is that this person obtained the ilm, the knowledge, at one point in his or her life. He or she were not alim, were jahil at the time of birth. God says everyone is jahil at the time of birth. Wallahu akhrajakum من بطون أمهاتكم لا تعلمون شيئا. You exited the wombs of your mothers while you are jahil. You know nothing. So you started learning. Whereas the case with God is different. God is always a scholar, always alim, always knowledgeable. There is no period that passed by where God didn't know and then he later knew. Nothing like that. From day one, where there is no day one for God, till the last day, where there is no last day for God. He's always knowledgeable. He always knows what is going on. For us, we know about things when they happen, when they take place. But when it comes to God, God knows about them even before they take place. So he's omniscient. His knowledge is all encompassing. So God says, I know, alimul ghayb, the knower of the unseen, wash-shahada, and the seen, al-kabir al-muta'al. For us, there is ghayb, but ghayb does not exist when it comes to God. Everything for God is shahada. Everything for God is known to him. There is nothing concealed from him. Nothing hidden from him. For us, certain things are ghaib. In fact, 90% of this life for us is ghaib, is unknown. 90%. Not 90%. I would say 99.9% of what is happening in this universe for us is ghaib, is hidden, is unseen, unknown. Whereas for God, it is completely نان عالم الغيب والشهادة الكبير المتعال إن الله لا يخفى عليه شيء في الأرض ولا في السماء. Nothing is concealed from God, neither in the earth nor in the heaven. Whatever happens وعنده معالم الغيب وعنده مفاتيح الغيب لا يعلمها إلا هو. He possesses the keys to the unseen. For him, nothing is unseen. When we say غيب, غيب relates, is related to us, not to God. Nothing for God is غيب. Nothing for him is unknown or unseen. وعنده مفاتيح الغيب لا يعلمها. He has the keys to the unseen. Nobody knows them except him. لا يعلمها إلا هو ويعلم ما في البر والبحر. He knows exactly what happens in the sea and the land. وما تسقط من ورقة. No leaf falls down from the tree, any tree, anywhere in this universe, but God knows about it, knows the details about it. ولا حبة, no grain, في ظلمات الأرض, down, hidden, in the darkness of the land. ولا رطب ولا يابس إلا في كتاب مبين. In his book, the book that God has, all these informations are available to him, but not to us. They are not to us. Sometimes God gives permission to certain people, they could be prophets, they could be imams, to know part of what he wants them to know. Part of what he wants them, and he gives them access to these classified information. He gives them some access. But he is the knower of the غيب. So here, number 10 says, سواء منكم, alike among you, من أسر القول ومن جهر به. Who speaks secretly or he speaks openly. Have you seen friends when they speak with each other? Sometimes they whisper in each other's ears. Why they whisper in each other's ears? So others, people who are sitting next to them, they don't hear them. So they whisper. They speak secretly. Sometimes they don't speak. They give ishara, indications. They use ishara. They don't speak. God says whether you speak secretly or openly. سواء منكم من أسر القول ومن جهر به ومن هو مستخف بالليل. مستخف comes from lurking, hiding in the night. Some people do things in dark. They don't do them in a broad daylight because they are embarrassed. So they wait for the land, for the night to fall, and then they can do whatever they like to do. So they are hiding behind what? Darkness. Some people, they do it openly during the day. They are not embarrassed of anyone. So God says whether you do it during the night, hiding behind darkness, the darkness of the night, or وَسَارِبٌ بِالنَّهَارِ, you are doing it, whatever you are doing or saying, during broad daylight, I know what is happening. You cannot hide from God. The example I gave last week, when someone came to the sixth Imam, Al-Imam Ja'far ibn Muhammad al-Sadiq alayhi salatu wasalam, he said to him, Ya Ibn Rasulullah, sins are very tempting. I can't control myself. When it comes to sin, I have no power of control. I lose my power of control. So what do you suggest? What should I do? Imam said to him, I have an idea. If you can't control yourself, I have an idea. Go somewhere and hide, somewhere that God does not see you, and enjoy your sin. The man turned to the Imam. He said to him, but God is everywhere. I can't hide from God. Imam said to him, then don't commit a sin. If you know that God is seeing you and watching you, and there is no place to hide, then you should not commit a sin. This is how you have self-control. Sometimes we don't do certain things in front of people, in front of our parents, our neighbors. Why? Because we are embarrassed. We don't want the parents, the elders, the friends, the neighbors, family members to know. The Prophet says you have to have the respect for God at least the same way you respect your parents and your neighbors, so you don't commit sin, you don't commit crime before them. So at least have the same minimum respect for God. Don't always put God the lowest one in your life. You put neighbors first, friends first. I don't want anyone to watch me, but when it comes to God, you commit sins while God is watching you and seeing you. There is no place hidden from God. Have you heard about these infrared cameras? They can capture the image even in darkness, absolute darkness, but still these infrared cameras, they capture the image. God has these cameras. So whether it is dark or light, whether the light is good or bad, God can watch. سَوَاءٌ مِنْكُمْ مَنْ أَسَرَّ الْقَوْلَ وَمَنْ جَهَرَ بِهِ. So when you speak, be careful. Sometimes you want to say something bad, so you speak secretly. Maybe people cannot hear you, but there is one who can hear you, and he records what you say. And he will show this recording. He will present it. All these recordings, audio, video recordings of our a'mal, our deeds, are going to be presented to us. God says on the day of judgment, you're going to see your deeds, what you said, whether it was in secret or in open, openly or secretly. سَوَاءٌ مِنْكُمْ مَنْ أَسَرَّ الْقَوْلَ وَمَنْ جَهَرَ بِهِ وَمَنْ هُوَ مُسْتَخْفٍ بِالْلَّيْلِ وَسَارِبٌ بِالنَّهَارِ لَهُ مُعَقِّبَاتٌ مِنْ بَيْنِ يَدَيْهِ وَمِنْ خَلْفِهِ. This is ayah number 11. Ayah number 11 in Surah Al-Ra'd says that God assigns certain angels to protect us from, to protect us, لَهُ مُعَقِّبَاتٌ مِنْ بَيْنِ يَدَيْهِ. مِنْ بَيْنِ يَدَيْهِ, it means from the front, from his front, human's front, and to his rear. لَهُ مُعَقِّبَاتٌ مِنْ بَيْنِ يَدَيْهِ وَمِنْ خَلْفِهِ. Those are attendants, مُعَقِّب, attendant, who are assigned the task of our protection. God calls them, they have another name in the Quran, حافظين, حفظة. In Surah Al-Infitar, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَإِنَّ عَلَيْكُمْ لَحَافِظِينَ كِرَامًا كَاتِبِينَ وَإِنَّ عَلَيْكُمْ لَحَافِظِينَ كِرَامًا كَاتِبِينَ يَعْلَمُونَ مَا تَفْعَلُونَ. We have assigned angels. They have two jobs, just like the Secret Service here in America and elsewhere. They have two jobs. One, to protect the president or the dignitaries. Second, to spy also. They do spy and they report to their boss. Do you know some of those bodyguards? They are not only protectors. They spy, they report. God says, I have the same. I have protectors. Those angels are hafidhin. But kiram and katibin, also they report. They protect and they report what is happening. They have two tasks. So those angels, they protect us. They protect us against any type of danger. Until God says, remove your protection. Stop protecting him. That day when the angels, they stop protect us, the ajal comes, death comes. Has it happened to you or to members of your family or members of your community or friends that they got in a very, very deadly, dangerous car accident, but they got out safe? Nothing happened to them. Maybe some bruises. When you look at the vehicle, you say, wow, how can a person in this vehicle survive? But Allah says, the ajal has not arrived. The day the ajal, death comes, then we remove the protection. Those angels cannot protect anymore. God gives them the order, do not protect. Hands off, they don't protect. That day death comes. Especially children. Have you seen some children who are super active, mashallah? Some of them are here, running here, I see them. Those children who are super active, you know how many times they are exposed to danger in their childhood? Every single day, several times a day. Sometimes either they consume something dangerous, sometimes a poison, sometimes something very terrible. Sometimes they fall down, sometimes car accidents, sometimes they run in the street. But then God protects them. If there is no such a protection, no child can survive. We could not reach to this age if there was no protection. But God says, I protect. I protect you through those angels. وَإِنَّ عَلَيْكُمْ لَحَافِظِينَ حَافِظِينَ مُحَافِظ مُحَافِظ دیگه محافظ از اینجا اومده دیگه bodyguard محافظ means a bodyguard protection وَإِنَّ عَلَيْكُمْ لَحَافِظِينَ كِرَامًا but they are honorable. Some of those bodyguards are not honorable. They are bad. They are not honorable. God says the guards that I assign, they are good. They are not going to hurt you. Kiraman, katibin, they are scribes. They write down what you do. Kiraman, katibin, ya'lamuna ma taf'alun. They know exactly what you say, what you do, and they document that. Because they're going to present it to God on the day of judgment. Ya'lamuna ma taf'alun. So God says, lahu mu'aqibatun min bayni yadayhi wa min khalfih. We assign to every human being mu'aqib, protector. To protect that person from his front and his behind, to protect us against physical danger and also what else? There is physical danger and there is what else? Huh? Exactly. Spiritual danger. What is, give me an example of a spiritual danger. Physical danger, it's let's say car accident. But what is the spiritual danger? Spiritual danger, a good example of that is the shaitan, Satan. Sometimes God protects you through those angels. If it wasn't for God's protection, you would have lost yourself. You would have gone into that way, wrong way. You would have gone with that person somewhere. You would have committed that act, but last minute, you stop. How did you stop? Who did stop you? Who did the brake? Who put the brakes on you? The angels, with God's guidance, with God's will. لَهُ مُعَقِّبَاتٌ مِنْ بَيْنِ يَدَيْهِ. Therefore, my friends, how do you keep yourself safe from these dangers? How many of you drive many miles a day on these freeways here? All of you, almost all of us. We drive, we go to places, our children, our kids, our family members, and things happen. So what do we do? Islam says number one, recite dua. Always when you leave your house in the morning. The best three pieces of dua, Bismillah. وَلَا حَوْلَ وَلَا قُوَّةَ إِلَّا بِاللَّهِ تَوَكَّلْتُ عَلَى اللَّهِ. That's the best type of insurance against any danger. Spiritual, moral, physical, whatever. بسم الله لَا حَوْلَ وَلَا قُوَّةَ إِلَّا بِاللَّهِ تَوَكَّلْتُ عَلَى اللَّهِ. And then the second thing, pay sadaqah. Try to help out those who are in need. Because sadaqah, the act of charity, act of goodness, act of help. When you help people with food, with the clothing, with shelter, with medicine, with sometimes sadaqah, the act of sadaqah is love, smile. Sometimes you don't have money, your pocket is empty. But your heart should not be empty. You can give something out of your heart to the people. So try to give, number one, dua, number two, sadaqah, and then number three, be careful. Does not mean that if you paid sadaqah and you read the dua, now you can drive recklessly. Be careful. Be careful when you drive. Be careful when you go to places. Don't go to dangerous places. God is going to protect you. Then you don't have to worry. Don't worry about your son, your daughter. When they do, they follow these instructions, the checklist here, you should not worry about them. The second thing, my friends, because God says there are angels who are assigned to protect you. لَهُ مُعَقِّبَاتٌ مِنْ بَيْنِ يَدَيْهِ وَمِنْ خَلْفِهِ. Therefore, we have to respect the angels too. So if you are sitting somewhere alone, remember you are not alone. You think you are alone, but you are not alone. So don't do things in the private, things that you don't want to do in public. Don't do them in private. We have to respect those angels who are assigned to protect us. So we don't do bad things, because those angels, they can see, they are with us. Now, I'm not saying now, even when you go and take shower, wear your clothes. No, don't worry about that. Why? Because angels, they can see you, but they have no desire. Jibreel came to Mary. Mary was naked, and he saw her, but he has no desire. He has no desire. This is a good thing about angels, so don't worry about them. They would not harm you. God took out the desire from them. Took out the desire. So they have no desire, neither in their thoughts nor in their senses. They have no desire. Angels have no desires. This is why God sent Jibreel to Mary. And he said, I'm going to give you the baby. So those angels have to be respected. Those angels, we have to respect them. And we have to realize that we are not completely alone. There is someone who's watching us, listening to our conversation. لَهُ مُعَقِّبَاتٌ مِّن بَيْنِ يَدَيْهِ وَمِنْ خَلْفِهِ يَحْفَظُونَهُ مِّنْ أَمْرِ اللَّهِ. Those angels, the attendants angels, they protect us by the commands of God, not by themselves. Therefore, one day when God says no more protection, they follow God's commands. And because God is protecting us through angels, he says, I don't want you to take them for granted. Don't say that since I have angels protecting me, I have no more responsibility. I can drive the way I like. I can drive irresponsibly. I can drive recklessly. You have a responsibility. Though you have people who are protecting you, but you have a personal responsibility too of taking care of yourself. And this is what he says in the following section of the verse. إِنَّ اللَّهَ verily, truly, إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يُغَيِّرُ مَا بِقَوْمٍ حَتَّى يُغَيِّرُ مَا بِأَنفُسِهِمْ. God would not, does not change what is in a community. قَوْم means people, community, country, society, until they change what is in themselves. Many people say, why this country is poor and that country is rich? Why this country has a flood, epidemics, diseases, unemployment, and that country is doing well? Why God is doing this to the people? It is not God, my friends. God says, I have provided you with reason, with aql, with a brain, with a free will. I want you to take care of your societies. I don't like to see dictatorship. But don't ask me to come and remove the dictator. I'm not going to do that. This is your job. Your job to create a best economy. The job of the citizens. The job of all the people of the country, the society. Not the job of one person. Neither the job of God. God says, I gave you reason, aql, free will. You have to do something about yourself. I'm not going, don't call upon me. Don't waste your time if you are not proactive. If you don't try to help yourself, don't call upon me. Why? Because I have a maxim. That maxim states, إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يُغَيِّرُ مَا بِقَوْمٍ. I am not going to change the circumstances of any community unless they change what is in them. What does it mean, what is in them? If people are greedy, they don't want to help each other, then God is not going to help them. If people are selfish, they only think of themselves, not their neighbors, not their community members, God is not going to help them. If people want to be dishonest and they want to deal with fraud in the market and cheat in their businesses, they don't respect the business, they don't honor the business, God is not going to help them. God says, I only help those who intend to do good. But those who insist on falsehood, I'm not going to help them. I leave them alone. إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يُغَيِّرُ مَا بِقَوْمٍ حَتَّى يُغَيِّرُ مَا بِأَنفُسِهِمْ. Victory comes from God when we are sincere, when we have ikhlas, when we are honest, when we have big hearts, try to help each other. But if people are competing and racing with each other, they damage each other. The husband does not trust his wife. The neighbor does not trust his neighbor. The brother does not trust his brother. God says, I don't want to work with this community. Don't call upon me. You have to begin the step. The step of reforms begins with yourself. Once I see people are really sincere, they are helping each other, then I will interfere. Then I will help. But if God sees people are always quarreling, have you seen a father being happy with his children always quarreling with each other? That father is going to run away, abandon the family and runs away. God is there. He doesn't run away. But sometimes he doesn't listen because he doesn't want to listen. When the voice is not sincere, the voice that does the dua, the prayers is not sincere, God is not going to listen to that voice. And God is not going to respond to the dua. Dua only is accepted when the person, the abd, the slave, is really sincere. He really needs God's help. When he helps others. But if someone spends his life cheating, being dishonest, lying, God is not going to help him. إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يُغَيِّرُ مَا بِقَوْمٍ حَتَّى يُغَيِّرُ مَا بِأَنفُسِهِمْ وَإِذَا أَرَادَ اللَّهُ بِقَوْمٍ سُوءًا فَلَا مَرَدَّ لَهُ وَمَا لَهُم مِّن دُونِهِ مِن وَالٍ. And when God decides to punish some people for their own violations, God would never punish with no reason. God does not have a grudge. God is the God of mercy and love and forgiveness. But some people insist on wrongdoings. If they keep committing injustice and wrongdoings against themselves and others, definitely God is going to punish them. Because God is not only rewarding the good among us, he's always disciplining the bad. So if God intends to punish some people because of their violations, those people, they are not going to find a protector to protect them and to repel God's punishment. وَإِذَا أَرَادَ اللَّهُ بِقَوْمٍ سُوءًا فَلَا مَرَدَّ لَهُ وَمَا لَهُم مِّن دُونِهِ مِن وَالٍ. Let me conclude a couple of minutes. Some people, when they fail in their life, they tend to blame others. Have you seen such people in the society? He fails at the school, he puts the blame on his mother. He doesn't say that, I didn't do good. I did not prepare for the finals. I did not study for my exams. He puts the blame on his poor mother, or his father, or his parents. Or if the husband is not doing well, he's going to put the blame on what? On the wife. If the wife is not doing well, definitely she is going to blame her husband. People blame each other. Why? Because they do not want to accept the responsibility. It's very hard to say, yes, I am the muqassar, I am the deficient. Deficiency is from me. I should change myself. I should look into this failure and see why I failed here. So I accept the responsibility. 99% of the people don't accept responsibility. They put the responsibility on others. This is with individuals. Sometimes we come to countries, communities and countries. When something happens, they say, this is America, this is Israel. They blame America and Israel. For all their ills, they blame others. And this is not right. This is not right. America cannot take advantage of a nation if that nation is united. America cannot inflict damage on any community if that community is thriving, strong, helping each other, supporting each other. But when the community is weak, not America, any country can take advantage of that society. So we should not blame others. We should look at our own selves. We should look at our own selves. And we should accept the responsibility. God says you have to accept the responsibility. Don't tend always to say, I did this, I didn't do good here because of this and this and that. Say, because of me. And I need to change myself. God says, change yourself. This life is about changing. It's about transformation. Every single day. Every single day it's an opportunity for us. Every single day. When we wake up in the morning, open our eyes, God provides me with an opportunity to change myself, to change my family, to change my community. If I insist on my wrongdoing, I'm not going to change. I've seen sometimes I counsel some couples. I spend hours doing marriage counseling. They blame each other. None of them says, Sayyidina, but this was my mistake. I wish some of them, when they come, they admit, they say, this was my mistake. None of them. Always she puts the blame on him and he puts the blame on her. They waste my time and their time. At the end, they end up where? In the Superior Court of Orange County. Walhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. We need to change, my friends. We need to change. We need to look into the real mirror. Sometimes you look into this material mirror to fix your shape. If something wrong, you fix it before you leave home. Sometimes the mirror is the spiritual mirror. Look into that mirror. Ask yourself. Don't always say what is wrong with people. Sometimes ask what is wrong with me. Maybe the wrong is with me, not with people. If you admit and if you try to change, God says, I will hold your hand. I will make you victorious. Inna Allah, remember, this is an important maxim, law in the Quran. Inna Allah la yughayyiru ma biqawmin. He would never save any nation. He would not even protect. He would not even help unless they help themselves out. We give condolences on the first anniversary of our honorable friend, Dr. Shahnaz, honorable lady, spiritual lady, who passed away, and she's with her Lord now. And one day we're going to end up in the same place. This is a story that happens in every family with every individual. We have to vacate our place to make room for other generations who are coming. We can't stay here because our real place is not here. This is our temporary place. We have to vacate this place. We will get the eviction notice. At what age, we don't know. Sometimes at the age of 40, sometimes 50, sometimes 90. But definitely you're going to get the eviction notice. And when you get it, you cannot delay. Because God says when the ajal comes, there is no delay. We have to leave. Lucky are the people who realize this point. Lucky are the people who know that they are here not forever. And they start building a credit for the next one, for the hereafter. Those people are lucky. But if we forget about why we are here, and if we forget about our final destination, we're going to be shocked. And we're going to be losers. So try not to be a loser. Try to think of saving yourself in the hereafter. Allahumma ighfir lil mu'minina wal mu'minat, wal muslimina wal muslimat, al ahya'i minhum wal amwat. تابع اللهم بيننا وبينهم بالخيرات إنك مجيب الدعوات إنك غافر الخطيئات إنك ماحي السيئات وجاعلها حسنات إنك على كل شيء قدير. Not tomorrow, which is March 8th, but the Friday after that, Salat al-Jum'ah is going to be at 1 p.m. inshallah, but tomorrow is going to be at 12. And also next Thursday, Dua Kumail is going to be 40 minutes before sunset. 40 minutes before Maghrib prayers. So if Maghrib is about 7:10 next Thursday, then the dua is going to be 6:30 inshallah. So I mean 6:30, 40 minutes before the salat time inshallah. I ask you to recite Surah Al-Fatiha for our good friend Dr. Shahnaz, and also for marhum Asam Farahat. Al-Fatiha ma'as-salati ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad.